The incidence of serious mental illness in the nation's jails is 4 to 6 times higher than in the population at large. But as WFAE has been reporting in our series Fractured, locking up defendants with serious mental illness can make them worse. It's expensive, and if they don't get treatment when they're released, they're likely to get arrested again. As Dana Miller Irvin reports, Miami has become a nationwide model for a different way of dealing with defendants with mental illness. And a lot of places are paying attention, including North Carolina.
61-year-old Alretha Toombs has cycled in and out of the Miami jail over 70 times in the last 40 years. Most of her charges were for shoplifting and low-level theft to support what she says was a lifelong crack habit. She's been clean for over a year. And she's been turning her life around in other ways, too. Toombs has been working as a prep chef for a Miami fast food restaurant. She credits much of her success to the court system. It's why she wants to meet at the courthouse. She wants to introduce me to the person she affectionately calls my judge.
I came here because if it weren't for her, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And she pushed me so hard my recovery means more to me than drugs.
Toombs dressed up for the occasion. She's wearing a sparkling silver sweater and matching boots. We sit for a while at the back of Judge Andrea Wolfson's courtroom, but it's clear she's going to be busy for a while. So we move to the hallway, but it's hard to talk. Toombs seems to know everyone.
You know why she's the judge? That's my niece.
Really? Oh, okay. The small world.
You know everybody here.
I've been coming long enough.
Toombs last ended up in court in late 2020 on a low-level felony theft. But instead of facing punishment for the offense, she opted to join a jail diversion program run by a Miami-Dade court. It required Toombs to stay clean for 15 months and show up for therapy appointments. And there were regular check-ins with Judge Wolfson. Toombs completed the program last December.
I came in that police a year and a half straight in Judge Wilson courtroom. I dropped every Thursday, and when I came in, I dropped clean. So she, if it weren't for her, I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
So you would be tested every week?
Every week, every Thursday, I'd be tested.
The diversion project is for defendants with serious mental illnesses who are charged with misdemeanors or low-level felonies. Toombs says she's been diagnosed with schizophrenia and depression. Defendants have to stay in treatment and keep out of trouble for at least a year. They not only have scheduled meetings with the judge, they're also in regular contact with a court case manager who tries to help them create a stable life in the community. And they work with a peer specialist, someone who's successfully managing their own mental illness and who can encourage defendants to stay on track. Toombs says she connected with the diversion program after she was released from a psychiatric hospital and had to face the charges.
And when I go to court, they be in the courtroom waiting for me.
They refers to representatives of the diversion program. The team helps defendants get food, clothing, and housing. They also help them apply for benefits and enroll in vocational rehabilitation so they can support themselves. A program manager says that 3/4 of those who completed the program were not rearrested the year following their release. The court stops monitoring participants after that, but they can remain connected to treatment and services indefinitely. Toombs says staying clean is harder than it sounds, even with the program's support.
I've been struggling with it for so long, since I was 18. It's not easy when you've been on drugs a long time. It's really not easy, but if you really want it, you'll do it.
We finally met Toombs' judge a few months later by Zoom. Judge Wolfson says Toombs' attitude had everything to do with her success.
She was ready. You know, she was really ready to make some changes in her whole life. And that's huge when it comes to the mental health diversion courts.
Wolfson says the program is rigorous, and defendants aren't always willing to show up for all the therapy, 12-step meetings, drug testing, and court appointments.
Very often we have people who say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go back to the regular division and you know, kind of roll the dice as to what my plea is going to be.
This is Toombs' third time through the diversion program. One time she was clean for 3 years, then slipped and ended up back in jail. But she's confident she'll stay out this time.
I have so much to gain. I'm working every day. I like the way I look. I like the way I'm living. I get to spend more time with my family.
The program is the brainchild of Miami judge Steve Lifeman, although he wouldn't call it that. He'd say he's just applying what's been shown to work. It's grown out of his decades-long mission to completely restructure the way the county's criminal justice system handles mental illness.
We have created a very sophisticated diversion system. We restructured our approach for people with mental illnesses, and it's at many different levels.
They refers to the 11th Circuit Criminal Mental Health Project, which Lifeman helped found in 2000. He says he first became concerned about the treatment of those with severe mental illness when he was a 17-year-old intern for a state legislator. It was just as Florida and other states were starting to shut down many psychiatric hospitals and deinstitutionalize the patients living there. Lifeman was told to investigate a complaint about a local hospital, an assignment he still can't believe he was given at such a young age.
They took me downstairs to what looked like a dungeon where I found these men lying naked in their own feces while a guard stood there and washed them down like animals in a zoo. 17 years later, I was appointed to the bench. The hospital was closed, and those same people that were being mistreated at the hospital were now being mistreated in our jail.
As psychiatric hospitals closed, Miami-Dade County Jail became Florida's largest psychiatric institution. As a new judge in the mid-1990s, Lifeman heard case after case involving seriously mentally ill people who kept cycling through the courts. A few years later, he organized a summit of mental health and justice professionals.
I remember vividly looking at each other, asking ourselves who was more sick. Healthy people that had designed a system that was truly designed to fail, or these poor souls who were just sick and we were not nearly giving them what they needed and we were allowing them to cycle in and out of these very expensive acute systems of care.
The group resolved to divert defendants charged with misdemeanors to treatment, bypassing the regular criminal justice system. Recidivism dropped from 75% to 20% in the year following their release. That success convinced prosecutors, a local hospital, and the Department of Corrections. The program gradually grew, adding defendants charged with nonviolent felonies, like Toombs. The project has also been training police to keep thousands of seriously mentally ill people from being arrested in the first place. Starting in 2010, it's been training police in all 36 of the county's municipalities to de-escalate conflict with the mentally ill. Over the next 9 years, Miami-Dade police responded to just over 100,000 mental health crisis calls, but they made only 198 arrests, the project reports. Two-thirds went to crisis treatment. Taxpayers save about $39 million a year.
So we deflect people from ever coming in on a pre-arrest basis by working with our law enforcement, and they have been amazing. They do hundreds of thousands of cases with very few arrests.
He has particularly harsh words for the wholesale practice of hospitalizing defendants who are too sick to understand their charges, then giving them just enough treatment so they can stand trial. That practice is called capacity restoration, and it's widely used in North Carolina. But in North Carolina, the wait for a hospital bed is so long that people charged with misdemeanors and low-level felonies often don't get to the hospital at all. They wait in jail until they serve the maximum sentence for the charges they're accused of. Then, by law, they have to be released. Back in Miami, the approach is now very different. Those charged with misdemeanors who are incompetent to stand trial get diverted into treatment. Those with low-level felonies come to this special locked unit at a local psychiatric hospital to get stable. Madeline Reyes is in charge.
This is the Behavioral Health Hospital. One of the units is the Miami-Dade Forensic Alternative Center.
Then they're given a choice, go to trial or join the diversion program. Reyes says defendants get a lot of support when they leave the hospital, and it's not just from staff.
You have no idea how many individuals have come here. They haven't heard from the family in years. We just search everywhere, Facebook, social media. We contact them. We make sure that when they get out of here, they have all the support available.
At first, Lifeman says, they didn't realize how difficult it would be to reach the most acutely ill, like the homeless people who cycle in and out of jail. Eventually, they got approval from the legislature for the ability to require court-ordered outpatient treatment for those too sick to realize they need care. Lifeman says a lot of work still needs to be done. The project says the county spends $232 million a year incarcerating those with serious mental illness. He's trying to figure out how to help the sickest people who cycle in and out of the courts. He shows us his next big idea.
So this is going to be a day activity room.
It's a 208-bed facility, which will serve as a one-stop shop for medical and psychiatric care for those who've been the hardest to help. It will include a walled-in courtyard, a gym, and a kitchen to train residents for culinary jobs. Lifeman takes about 70 people on a tour of the almost-finished building. There are jail diversion programs throughout the country, including North Carolina, but few as comprehensive as Lifeman's. Last year, teams from 22 states came to Miami to hear about the programs. Dr. Bob Cochran of North Carolina's Department of Health and Human Services was part of North Carolina's team.
We're sold and are committing our time and resources to moving this.
Judge Lifeman will come to North Carolina in October to meet with the Chief Justice and Health Department officials. Cochran's hoping to start a misdemeanor diversion program in several North Carolina counties, but the planning is still very preliminary.
The core group of us are very committed to pushing this. I hope, you know, we're going to run into roadblocks, I'm sure, as you know, these things happen, and we'll try to overcome them. But we very much would like to see this happen because we see the potential benefits as quite large.
Funding may be one of the roadblocks. It's taken 20 years for Lifeman to build out support. And even then, it's hard to get all the funding in place. He's hoping to get Columbia University and the University of South Florida to study the impact of the new center. Those studies could help others, like Cochran, get funding. But Cochran says that the endorsements of Miami prosecutors and law enforcement convinced him that the program works. Lifeman points to studies in other states showing the benefits of diversion programs.
We know how to fix it. It takes political will, and it takes leadership to enforce it to happen. And if not, everyone's just going to go off like they do now and protect their own system and try to get more money into an existing system that doesn't work.
And it takes commitment on the part of defendants like Toombs. We checked in with her a few days ago. She lost the job she loved, but says she's still clean. Her judge is glad to hear that, but worries Toombs is vulnerable. In the words of Judge Lifeman, the people they're helping need something to wake up for every day, just like everyone else. For WFAE News, I'm Dana Miller Irvin.
The series was edited by Greg Collard and Aaron Texera. Our researcher is Mona Dugani. The podcast is edited and produced by me, Eric Thiel, at WFAE in Charlotte. Fractured is a collaboration between WFAE and the PBS series Frontline through its local journalism initiative, which is funded by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.